way ye must go, the way ye must go. Our key verse is verse 4. Really, you could tie verse 3 and 4 together if you would, but verse 4 says, then Joshua, whoops, I'm chapter 4. Better go to chapter 3. Verse 4. There shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. 2,000 cubits. I was talking with Steve about it yesterday. I said, how far is 2,000 cubits? And we surmise a little bit if you use the biblical. There's a long cubit and there's a short cubit. Depends on which side of the elbow. Whether you go to the inside of the elbow or the outside of the elbow. This is a short one. This is the long one. 18.5 feet, something like that. Inches. Yeah, inches. Anyway, it comes out to almost 3/4 of a mile. Believe it or not, 3/4 of a mile. So 2019 is underway. January is in the history book already. Unbelievable. And February is in the writing, and I'm not rushing things, by the way. But December 31st will be here before you know it. It will. You look at the beginning of the year, and you have all these ideas, and you have all these plans, all these things you want to get accomplished. And then when the year ends, you look back and say, you know, I barely got any of those done. What happened to time? So let's not be all that skeptical. I know that December 31st, 20 is a ways off, but 2018 stared us in the face at one time. And so very many people expressed, where did 2018 go? What happened to 2018? Well, it did. It went by so fast. Time does have a way of slipping away from you and I. So in our text, a 40-year journey is about to end. Now, 40 years is a long time. It seems like an eternity if you're at the beginning of it. I often heard people when they get these sentences, you've been life, but you parole in 50 years. I mean, 50 years of a person's life. I remember when I joined the Air Force. And they would say, well, 4 years. 4 years. I mean, it's not like you get a semester break or anything. I mean, it's 4 years and you get 30 days leave and so on and weekends. But the truth of the matter is, it seems like 4 years. Wow, that's a long time. And so you just kind of chuck it in the memory bank there somewhere. But the longest part of any time is those last 30 days. If you've been in the military, it seems like those last 30 days will never end. But here they are. They're ready to cross over the Jordan River. And that 40 years, which must have seemed so very long to them. But when you arrive and you look back, it has a tendency to just seem like, boy, it was so short. Peggy and I have been blessed to be here at Calvary for 40 years. 40 years ago, we had no idea whether we'd be here 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years. Or even 4 seconds, for that matter. Came in on a snowy day. I called a couple numbers as I parked over here. We used to be Robinson's over there. I think it was Robinson's at the time. And I made a phone call and two grizzly bears showed up. I wasn't sure what I got myself into at that point, but that's okay because they had no idea what was in the truck either. So, but the God and the folks of Calvary have been only too kind, have been only too gracious over these 40 years. And I have to tell you, as we look back, it seems like time has flown by at a breakneck speed. It does not seem possible. Remember thinking when we had first gotten married on June the 6th. No, June 4th. She probably just was, okay, whatever. On June the 4th, 1964. That what 50, coming up on 55 years would be like. But again, I'm looking back and I'm thinking to myself, where did the time go? Where did the time go? And you begin to think of all the things that you missed because you just weren't paying attention or you're so caught up in whatever it was. But here is Joshua leading the nation of Israel about to cross the Jordan River, flowing over its banks, by the way. They know that somewhat lies because they had sent out spies 40 years earlier. So they knew that the inhabitants of land probably knew that they were wandering around in the wilderness and Kadesh Barnea and all those places down there. What they really didn't know is that the enemy were really concerned, and they weren't really the enemy, but the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, who were the enemies of God, that they were really fearful of the nation of Israel because of their God and what he had done for them. So they knew that they were going to be in for a rough road to hoe, but I don't believe they knew how much. So there are many things that we do not know that God does know. And whether in their lives or in our lives, if God were to get specific about what he knows, we, like the nation of Israel, would probably balk and resist and say, I'm not going there. Or even, because sometimes in our own perceptions, if you're asked to do something, well, I just don't think I could do that. Or I'm not up to that. Or that's out of my comfort zone, one thing or another. But one of the things I do know that in a lot of times in the ministry, when I'm thinking of when Brother Bob Mack and his wife Becky went over to Ivory Coast in Bangerville, that God called them to bring the gospel to the people there. But I don't think he would have expected that he would have had to build a clinic, an orphanage, and a church, and a college. But they laid down these plans, these ideas, and God unfolded them one by one, and they moved forward. So it's a good thing that God doesn't give us the whole truckload up front, isn't it? Even when it comes to the married life, we have no idea what's in store. We get married by faith. If you're Dan Susan, you get married to faith. But you really don't know what lies down the road. And you look back over the years and you're glad that God was there every step of the way. Amen. So there are many things, as I said, we do not know that God does. And we do find a wonderful promise that God gives to Joshua. He gives it to the nation of Israel as they're about to enter into, I wanted to say uncharted waters, but they didn't go through. They went through on dry land, so I had to go with uncharted time and uncharted events. In verse 4, God makes it very clear. He says there, yet there shall be a space between you and it, that means the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And God's telling him, this is uncharted territory for you. But at the same time, God's telling them, I know what's ahead of you. I know where I want you to go. I know what I want you to accomplish. I want you to know where it is that I want you to be. See, God had a plan. And he doesn't always, as I said a little bit earlier, he doesn't always lay out that plan in full detail. But he does promise that he's always going to be with us. And so I believe that history has lessons for any and all generations who will listen and pay attention, which means that we can learn a few vital lessons as we also continue in the uncharted time and events of 2019 and beyond. See, we have no idea what's going to happen in 2019. Some of us have gone through some things in a particular year, whether it was cancer or otherwise, that it wasn't like when that year began that God said, oh, by the way, you're going to deal with some cancer this year. Or you're going to have to deal with this year. You're going to deal with that this year. But we know that whatever lies before us, if we'll follow God, God knows. He has it planned. All we have to do is follow. Maybe we ought to sing that song. Follow on. Anyway, well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you'll guide and direct as we look to the message, the way ye must go. Lord, many are going to go their own way this year. It's a given fact. The redeemed of the Lord, there are going to be many just going to go their own way, do their own thing. Lord, they're going to put their own time frame on it. Lord, and then they're going to just hope for the best. But then, Lord, there's your plan for us this year as families. And certainly as a church, you have a plan for us. And Lord, may we be smart enough, wise enough to surrender and allow you to do the directing, for you to do the guiding. And Lord, as you unfold each and every day. Lord, may we be compliant. Lord, may we walk hand in hand. Lord, there are souls that need to be saved. There are families that need to be reached. And so, Father, use us as individuals, whether it's in our community or people that we know at work or just people we meet. It may be a waitress or a waiter. Lord, it may be a delivery man. But, Lord, open the doors that we can use this year to advance your kingdom into the hearts and the lives of many this year. Father, direct us, challenge us, encourage us. If it's to salvation, then Lord, may we see someone come to know you even before this day is finished. Or rededication. Father, we just pray, have your perfect will and way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't really have any real points under here, other than the fact I begin with this thought that God leads the way. God leads the way. The question is whether you and I are going to follow him. Many times we offer God something, and we may say, well, God, this is what I want to do for you. But at least give God the option and the opportunity to say, no, that's not what I want you to do this year, but this is what I have planned for you. But as Israel walked for 40 years through the wilderness, they had a pillar of fire by night, and by day they had a pillar of smoke. And the presence had to be reassuring to them. Now, if you live out in the country where there aren't any streetlights, and if you've really been, I mean, it gets pretty dark out there. As a little fellow going over to visit my great-grandmother in Conway, New Hampshire, I knew I had an uncle that lived maybe less than a couple hundred yards up the road. But if you get out on their porch, you couldn't see the house. All you could see were the little lights. That's all you could see. And beyond that, you couldn't see much of anything that was that dark. And being the scaredy cat that I was, I didn't stay out there very long. I shot right back inside real quick, because if I can't see something, I'm. But here they are, they're in the wilderness. So it wasn't like they were in a familiar neighborhood who you knew across the street or up the street or down the street. They had no idea what was around them other than maybe a bunch of other Israelites. But imagine being in a wilderness at night, stepping out into the darkness and wondering about tomorrow. What's tomorrow going to bring? What does tomorrow hold? And then there is the reassurance of that pillar of fire at nighttime. Okay, God, you're in control. You've gotten us this far. You're going to lead us the rest of the way. So the reassuring pillar said that I am with you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be well. It does not appear that as Israel and Joshua are ready to cross over that swollen river, Jordan, that the pillar of fire or the pillar of smoke were going to be used to guide them and direct them in the land of Canaan. In fact, God is going to give them something more important. A new means is given in verse 3. And it says there in verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord. That's a reassuring that I have entered into a covenant with you. You have entered into a covenant with me. And in this covenant, I am going to lead you. I am going to guide you. I am going to provide for you. I am going to protect you. So when he said that when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, there are many things they do not know that God does know. And whether in their lives or in our lives, if God were to get specific about what he knows, then we, like Israel, would probably balk and resist. If he told him, he said, you're going to have a great victory in the city of Jericho, but you're going to have a miserable failure in Ai, and some of you men are going to lose your lives. Some of the women are going to lose their husbands. They're going to lose their sons because of the sin of one man called Achan. And he didn't express to them all the other challenges that would be in there. He just promised them that if they would follow him, he would direct them. So we do find a wonderful promise that God gives to Joshua. And it does not appear that as Israel, I'm backtracking here for some odd reason here, but imagine being in that wilderness. So a new means is given. By the way, cubits comes out to about 1,000 yards. I had to do some changing numbers around a little bit there to figure out, okay, so what's 1,000 yards in a mile? Came out to, I think, 1,075 yards, basically, is what they were looking at. That's a long distance. I think to myself, I can hardly sometimes see the letters on my page. I'm going to see an ark that's way out there with a few priests carrying it. But there may be several reasons for this. Why the 2,000 cubits? Why the almost 3/4 of a mile? And so I had to do a little bit of research to figure out exactly why that would be. I had some of my own ideas. But I believe there may have been several reasons why they were to do that. Number one, it was most important for all to be reminded of the covenant relationship between them and God. And if you had, like there had been in the past, where the Ark of the Covenant was in the midst of the people, it didn't go before them, it was always in the midst of them. Now this is something new for them, that now the Ark of the Covenant was going to be before them. And God wanted to make sure that they could all see it, rather than having a crowd throng around it, and so that nobody could see it. And the nice thing about the Word of God is that we can get along with the Word of God, read the Word of God, and experience his blessings and his presence as we go through the Word of God. Amen? We can see what God has for us in his Word. But they were able to see the ark as a reminder of God's promises and also of God's covenant promise to them. Sometimes you hear people give their word, but you're not really sure if they're going to keep their word. But that ark of the covenant of the Lord their God was out before them, and they were mindful of the fact is that God promised he was going to take us to where it is that he has planned for us to go. So it was God going before to search out a resting place, though God knew it. It was of a great comfort to those who did not know. And let's face it, we don't know what's coming down the pike in 2019, but God does. So let's stay as close to God as we can possibly stay, so that when whatever transpires, good or bad, whether it's an adverse set of circumstances or not, at least we're there with the Lord, knowing that he's going to take us through it. Amen? It's where we find our strength, our perseverance. So here we have the priest bearing the ark before the people. It is always the work of the Lord's ministers to hold forth the word of life. Amen? You men in your homes, your responsibility is to hold forth the word of life, the word of God. My job as a preacher is not to tell you what God's word said. What I think God's word has said, my responsibility is to tell you what God has said. I'm to hold forth the word of life. You have to bring that with you so that you can also follow along. Amen? So, as Paul also states in the New Testament, and he says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, if you want to mark it down, holding forth the word of life, he says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Those, the last two phrases are really important. We are in the Word of God, and we adhere to the Word of God, so that the race that we run that is set before us is not one that's run in vain. When you and I lean to our own understanding, then the race is in vain. God wants to direct us. God wants to move us according to his plan. And he will unveil much of that through his scripture and as well through the counsel of others. But for the most part, Paul said, I do not want to run my race in vain. I do not want to labor in vain. I don't want to get to heaven and realize that I have been like a vehicle on ice, just spinning a lot of wheels and getting nowhere. And sometimes that's the way it is in that Christian life. Maybe it's because we find it's a little bit easier if we just spin our wheels and pretend that we're getting a whole lot done for God, but we're not getting much of anything done for God. So holding forth the word of life. Why? That I, so that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See, God is very specific in giving two direct reasons for the distance. Number one is found in verse 3, that they may see it and move to follow it. When it moves and they know that it's moving, they're supposed to move with it. But number two is found in our key verse, verse 4, where it says, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Yeah, you can do your own thing this year. You can go your own way this year. But when things are amiss, don't shake your fist at God and say, God, why did you let this happen? Many adverse things can happen to us when we get ourselves off of God's path and on our own pathway. So there are things that God really wants to accomplish. There are plans that God has for us, and we need to follow those plans. So if you're not in the Word of God, and you're not in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God, and you don't have Christ as your focus and fellowshipping with other believers as well, you're going to find yourself probably on the wrong path. So God wanted to be sure that everyone was able to see where he was leading them. So rather than following the crowd, so to speak, and there's many who follow the crowd, they could know where God was leading personally. And a lot of churches will do that. A lot of Christians, a lot of our young people will say that, well, so-and-so allowed their kids to do this, and so-and-so allows their children to do this, and so-and-so allows their children to do this and go here and get involved in that. Well, if you're following God's pattern and God's plan for your life, you just look at your children and say, that's not what God has planned for us. We're going to follow the Lord and do what God wants us to do the way God wants it done. And there are churches who look out there and say, wow, look at these churches. I mean, good night. They've got thousands of people coming. They've got thousands of people live streaming. They've got thousands of people coming into their sanctuaries and whatever else it is their way. And then you want to find out what they did. Well, if you followed the way that Bill Hybels had followed, then you would have had a user-friendly church. It wasn't necessarily user-friendly for God, but it was user-friendly for the people. We're not interested in what other churches are doing. We're interested in what God wants us to do as given to us in the Word of God. Now, if God would have us to have 1,000 people and we still continue to follow the Word of God, our music is right and our message is right, and so on, and our standards are right, then who cares what the other church is doing? That's between them and God. We will have to stand before God and give an account, me especially. So, for Joshua, he was given earlier a charge that was to be critical to his leadership and his relationship to God. Now, it would just seem easy. God's going to put the ark out that way. We're going to follow the ark. We know exactly where we're going. But God said to Joshua, you're going to be the leader. Not only are you going to lead the people as a leader should, but you're going to do it spiritually, and you're going to do it scripturally. So he wasn't free to make a decision whether, well, let's go left, let's go right. So the fiery pillar by night, the pillar of smoke by day, were great confidence builders of God's presence. But the people still sinned, did they not? They sinned multiple times in the wilderness wanderings. The ark was another great confidence builder of God's desire to lead those who are his, and yet they still sinned following the ark. In fact, Hophni and Phinehas took the ark to lecherous, evil, wicked sons of Eli. Went and took it into battle, and God had to strike them dead. But it is, however, the Word of God that has the ultimate power to change the human heart. See, the pillar didn't really change anybody's heart. It probably changed some, but not the numbers. And so it was with the ark. People were respectful of it because they knew the consequences if they did not. But the Word of God has the power to change the human heart. Romans 1:16, Paul states, such power, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Word of God has a power to do something that nothing else can do. For Joshua and all who will take heed, God says, his and our obedience has the power to bring about or assure us of not simply being successful in our walk with God and the things that he has planned for us, but to have good success and a prosperous life. So you can take the Christian life and go in any direction you want to go with it. Doesn't mean that God's in it. When God is in it and that's the direction, then guided by the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to have good success. And God is going to make sure that your way is prosperous. Now, that is attributed to the time and place that we give to His Word, though. Imagine that. You can't just give it a lick and a promise and hope that somehow it all works out. You wouldn't want someone coming by your house and say, oh, listen, I'd like to build you a house. I'm a contractor. I'd like to build you a house. I think I can get it done in a couple of days. Okay, you really want a house? Or, you know, you've been told, find out when your car was manufactured online. If it was on a Monday or on a Friday, don't buy it. Because they're grumpy and disgruntled on Monday, and they're ready to get out of work on Friday, so nobody wants, close enough for government work attitude, I guess. But He told Joshua in Joshua 1, and said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why would He tell Joshua that as a leader, it was so important for him to be able to meditate in the Word? And the reason is that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, that's the problem. I'm going to go a little bit study in John, and then maybe I'm going to do a little study over in Ephesians. God has a lot throughout the entire book. It isn't just encapsulated into one little small area. It's throughout the Word of God. Whether it's in the life of Abraham, or if it's in the life of Moses, or in Joseph, or his brothers, that we can learn and glean so much as God had to deal with them, and as they dealt with God. But He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You have to have at least a semblance of some idea of what the Word of God is all about. And the more you read it, and the more you study it, and the more you meditate in the Word of God, then the more information, the more knowledge and understanding you have. So, how do you want 2019 to turn out? When December 31st rolls around, what do you want to be able to look back and see? It will come quicker than we think. And God has a plan, as I said earlier, for your 2019. It might pay to say, you know, Lord, I'm not sure what you've got in store for me this year. But Lord, I'm not even sure if I'm up to the task. But Lord, I know that I can do all things through your Son. You guide me, you direct me, and Lord, you lead me. And I'm going to follow. So He knows where He wants to lead us. He wants us to know that He knows where He wants our families to go, to be led. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21 says, as this prophet speaks to a backslidden people, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you're in the Word of God, you find out how not to walk, and then you find out how to walk. That's why it's so important. And that's why Solomon wrote to his son to lean not to thine own understanding. Because God has a way that He wants us to walk, and a direction that He wants us to walk in. And He has, and of course our flesh and the devil has a different way. So the things that God has in mind for you and I in 2019 and beyond involves our moving away from the world and away from our flesh and towards God. Only the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God are going to get us where God wants us to be. You can't get there by yourself. Try as you will. You cannot get to where God wants you to be without His Word and His Holy Spirit. Now, He may use others to counsel you, but what good is the counsel if you're not already in the Word of God? That would be like someone come up to me and say, well, Pastor, I don't know what God's will for my life is. I don't know if He wants me to be a pastor. I don't know if He wants me to be a missionary. I don't know if He wants me to be an evangelist. I don't know what He wants. And first He asked, are you in the Word of God? Well, no, I really don't have time. I say, I tell you what, you get in the Word of God, you see me in a year, and we'll talk about it. What's the point of giving Him any information? If He's not in the Word of God, he wouldn't know a hill of beans from a hill of bones. He wouldn't know which one. But if we will cooperate with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit of God, as Psalms 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't you at least want to know where you're going? How many of you been out to, as young people, you went to a camp somewhere? You go to camp? My first camp was up in the Poconos. at Percy Crawford. Back, that's how old I am. Way back in the day of Percy Crawford. Now, Percy Crawford was a lot like Jack Wertzen. They were both big band leaders. They had big bands. They got saved, and they chucked it all aside and said, this is not godly music. And you can imagine where the music has gone today. But they wanted God-honoring music. But he started a camp up in the Poconos. And we had gone up there, and he said, bring a flashlight and extra batteries. Because you want to wake up in the middle of the night, you may have to go to the bathroom, and there are stumps and stinkers. There are skunks out there, and you're going to want to have a flashlight to see where you're going. The Word of God is that, like, it's a wilderness out there. You may think you know where you're going, but is it the way that God wants you to go? So thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God so wants to lead you and I into greater things than you and I can possibly imagine. To do things that we could never possibly have ever thought of. I mentioned to the group yesterday, and I've mentioned it before, about Dr. Horton and Pensacola Christian College. He never could have imagined that school would be what it is today. But God led him into bigger things and greater things because he was willing to follow God in the day-to-day things. That's what makes a difference. See, you don't know where today is going to lead to tomorrow, where tomorrow is going to lead, but God does. And he wants it to be great. He wants it to be divine. He wants it to be absolutely satisfying. And it will be if it's done by God's way. So God wants to lead us into greater things that he has planned for us. So your choice this morning is this. Your plans or his, it is your choice. Those who choose to follow the Lord will always succeed according to God's success. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together. Lord, as we get ready to go into the communion service, won't you guide and direct? Lord, it is imperative that as we look at this coming year, that Lord, that It you don't want it to be just a humdrum year. Just getting by. Spiritually just getting by. Doing just enough to get by. Lord, those who succeed greatly are those who work hard and diligent. And Lord, if we will be diligent and work hard in gleaning from your word precepts and principles, and applying them to our lives, and Lord, you're going to lead us into some things that we couldn't even begin to imagine that will just thrill our soul. And Lord, we'll never want to ever go back to just getting by. Lord, you know the nature and the need of each and every heart this morning. Won't you guide and direct in the invitation? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Again, I'm going to ask you, how do you want 2019 to end? Do you want to accomplish great things for God or not? Then you're going to have to follow God. Follow his word, follow his spirit, but you're going to have to follow. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing this morning? If God will use me, I want to accomplish some great things. I'm looking, even our young people, I'm trusting that our young people want to accomplish really great things for God. The last thing you want to do is look back, not just only on the end of 2019, but the last thing you want to do is look back over your lifetime and say, you know, I did not do much of anything for God. And the last thing you really want to have is for God to say, you know, you didn't do much of anything for me. You could have, and you should have, but you didn't. Because we are all going to stand before God and give an account. And no matter what it is, I want you to know that God wants to do great things with you this morning. Preacher, would you pray for me today in closing? Yes, your hands here and hands there. And maybe this one you're saying, preacher, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know if I got a home in heaven. Well, please don't leave here today or turn off whatever device you're listening to this morning without knowing how. All you have to do is simply come by faith, a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, no hoops, no works. You just have to call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And you'll call upon him if you believe within your heart that Christ died in your place on the cross. You believe that. God knows your faith. He'll put your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. Preacher, I have no idea where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me today? Would you pray for me? Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together. And Lord, as we get ready to go into the communion service, won't you guide and direct? We pray now. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we read through the scripture, just a real quick thing here. I'm going to ask Brother Steve if you could come here, and Brother Jack if you would come here, and Brother Jim if you could come. You need to be saved. You got to be saved. Because this is about your relationship with the Lord. If you're not saved, you don't have a relationship with God. If you have not come to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ, you're not a child of God. You've got to be a child of God. Because this is about that relationship. And if you have a relationship with the Lord, and you're not right with the Lord, get right with Him before you partake in this. But also purpose as you get right, that you're going to do all you can by God's grace and the Holy Spirit not to continue in that sin anymore. So the Bible says, find my glasses here. And he says here, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Steve, would you ask the blessing on the bread, please?
Our Father in heaven, as we pause before this element of remembrance, Father, the representation of the broken body of Christ, Father, won't you help us today, in this moment, in this hour, to allow you to break our hearts, our hard hearts. God, Lord, may we be broken and living for you. Father, break us of our own selfishness, our own self-will. May we commit and submit to your leading in each and every day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take eat, this is my body which is broken for you. this to remembrance of me, and let's eat together. Jack, would you ask a blessing?
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blood that you shed on the cross for us. How, by faith, that blood washes us clean. And we have fellowship with the Father because of your sacrifice on the cross. And we just thank you for that shed blood. And pray that no one would leave here today without applying that blood to their lives and being free of sin and fellowship with the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Then we'll stand and sing one stanza, blessed be the tithe of vines. We are have an afternoon meal downstairs, somewhat their own. I've got a pot of spaghetti down there, so if you didn't bring anything, you want to say, have spaghetti. We'll see if we can get their shirts the reddest by the time we get done. For our own viewers, if you want to join us back here about 1:15, we'll be back online again. And Brother Jim, if you'd ask a blessing, we'll close up first.
Thank you for the food in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.